This is Brother Gino. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me for the Pastor Study. And I pray that all is well with each and every one of you. And as we're going to continue our study through the book of 1 Corinthians, we're in chapter 9 right now. And as we go through the book, I don't know if this is, if you realize this or not, but the problems that that church at Corinth had, a lot of our churches have the same problems today. And so what's a blessing here is Paul points them out and he gives them solutions and what they should do and how they should be right with God. So I pray as we go through 1 Corinthians that this study will be a blessing to everyone listening today. Now, as we go back into chapter 9, we started last time. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 has 27 verses to it. And in this chapter, what Paul is telling to the Corinthians, amen, he's talking to them about Paul's ministry. You see, Paul described his ministry to the Corinthians here in this chapter to explain why he did what he did in the ministry. And we started to look at and notice these aspects of Paul's ministry. Last time, first of all, we saw Paul's apostleship in verses 1 and 2 of 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul says, Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ the Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? And if I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you. For the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. So we see here Paul's apostleship. He says, and he tells us, and he tells the Corinthians, Paul was an apostle by the will of God. Amen. And that he was free. And that his only master was Christ. And that he had seen Jesus Christ, and the Corinthians were his work, and his signs of an apostle had been wrought among them. So while some among the Corinthians might have disputed his power and apostleship, there was no doubt about it. Amen. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 3-14. Paul talks about here is Paul's power. Paul's power. You see, there were some who were obviously questioning Paul's motive for refusing to be compensated by the Corinthians. Paul had the power. Amen. Paul had the power. Let's look at verses 3 and 4, 5, and 6 of 1 Corinthians 9. Mine answer to them that do examine me is this, have we not power to eat and to drink? Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas? Or I only and Barnabas, have not we power to forbear working? And then in verse 12, and if others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. So we see Paul had the power, he says, to eat and drink, amen, and to be married, like the other apostles in the Lord's brethren. Notice that Peter, the apostle Peter, was also married. Amen. He mentions him. He says Cephas. Amen. Now, and he had the power to forbear working. That is, he wasn't required by God to work to support himself. The three examples he gave of other people who are compensated for the work they do are soldiers, vine dressers, and shepherds. Amen. Now, in verse 7, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, who goeth a warfare anytime at his own charges? There's a soldier. Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? There's a vine dresser. Or who feedeth the flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? There's the shepherd. Amen. Now, to this, the law agrees. The law agrees when it provides that an ox which treads the corn can eat some of the corn it treads. Amen. Let's read verses 8 to 12 together. Say I these things as a man, or saith not the law the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? Or saith he, it is altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and that he that treadeth in hope should be partaker of this hope. And if we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? Verse 12, if others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. So, likewise, Paul could expect to reap carnal things for the spiritual things he had sown. The Corinthians had certainly taken care of some other preachers. Yet Paul would not be compensated because he did not want to hinder the gospel. Furthermore, the Old Testament priests and Levites were supported by tithes and offerings of the people. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 13, we read, do ye not know that they which minister about the holy things live of the things of the temple, and they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? And then in Leviticus chapter 6, verse 16, the Word of God says, and the remainder thereof shall Aaron and his sons eat with unleavened bread, should it be eaten in the holy place in the court of the tabernacle of the congregation, they shall eat it. Amen. And it's talking about the meat offering. Amen, the meat offering. And then, in verse 26 of Leviticus 6, we read this, the priest that offereth it for sin shall eat it. In the holy place shall it be eaten, in the court of the tabernacle of the congregation. And then we read in the book of Numbers, chapter number 5, in verses 9 and 10, Numbers 5, 9 and 10, the Word of God says, and every offering of all the holy things of the children of Israel, which they bring unto the priest, shall be his. And every man's hallowed thing shall be his. Whatsoever any man giveth the priest, it shall be his. So we see then, again, to support what Paul is saying, amen, that those who sow, sow spiritual things should reap carnal things. They should be provided for. And he shows also how in the Old Testament, the Levitical priesthoods, how they were provided for by the tithes and offerings of the people. But Paul said he wouldn't be compensated because he didn't want to hinder the gospel. Finally, the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. He says there in verse 14 of 1 Corinthians 9. Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. Amen. And then in Galatians chapter 6, verse 6, the word of God tells us, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. So, if you're being taught spiritual things by the man of God, being taught the word of God, then you should communicate unto him that teaches you the spiritual things and all good things. And communicate not only means speech, but to also to provide, to show your appreciation. Amen. And then also we see in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 5, in verses 17 and 18, the word of God says, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine, for the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. So the scripture is very clear. If someone preaches the gospel, ministers the gospel, teaches the word of God, then he should be supported by it. Amen. That's how the local church is set up. You have the pastor, the under-shepherd to the Lord Jesus Christ, who prays for his flock, teaches and preaches the word of God, and therefore, as a result of him sowing those spiritual things, he should reap carnal things. Amen. He should be supported financially by the members of the church. Amen. Now let's move on. Again, as Paul is discussing here in chapter 9 of 1 Corinthians, he's discussing his ministry. Now he talks in verses 15 to 18 about his rewards, Paul's rewards. Let's look at verses 15 through 18 together. But I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things, that I should be so done unto me. For it were better for me to die, that any man should make my glorying void. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me, if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me, which is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. Amen. I pray all of us would feel the same way that Paul did when he said, for necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Amen. All of us should have that attitude. Be it the preacher in the pulpit, the church member for witnessing to lost souls. Amen. Now, Paul's reward was that he preached the gospel without charge in Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 18. He didn't want them to support him, as he says in 1 Corinthians 9, 15. His concern was that others might accuse him of abusing his power if he did, as he stated there in 1 Corinthians 9, 18. But to Paul, preaching was not an option. A dispensation of the gospel was laid upon him. Amen. As we just read in verses 16 and 17 of 1 Corinthians 9. Yet he would be rewarded for preaching if he preached willingly. That's the point. He had to preach willingly. He wanted to do it. Not that he had it, but he wanted to do it. In the same way with us. We should want to preach the gospel. And if we preach it willingly, we will be rewarded. Amen. Now we're going to move on in verses 19 to 23 of 1 Corinthians 9. Paul's talking about his service. So we have Paul's service here in verses 19 to 23. So let's read 19 down to 23 together. The Word of God says, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law." Amen. "And to them that are without the law as without the law, being not without the law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain some that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I may gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. In this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partakers thereof with," amen, "that I might be partakers thereof with you." Now, Paul was a servant of Jesus Christ, and therefore sought to please the Lord rather than men. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, Paul said this, and he wrote this, "But for do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ." Amen. Who do you try to please? Ask yourself, is it men or is it Jesus Christ? Are you a servant of Christ and you want to please him? Everything you do in your life should please the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You are his servant. You are his servant if you are born again, child of God. "Yet he made him servant of men, that he might win them by preaching the gospel." And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5, we read this, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." Amen. We should not preach ourselves, my dear listener, but Jesus Christ. He's the one that should be glorified, not us. He should get all the honor and praise and glory, not us. Amen. So Paul said, "We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Christ's sake." Amen. His statement in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 22, sums it up perfectly. He said, "I am made all things to all men, that I might be all, by all means save some." So Paul is telling us he was completely adaptable and flexible in his ministry. And that's what the way all of us should be. If Lord has blessed you with a ministry, be it a pastor, an evangelist, Sunday school teacher, whatever the Lord has given you as a ministry, and nothing is too small, everything is big to God that you do for him. Amen. And if you're faithful in the little things he give you, he'll give you more. But he wants to see if you'll be faithful to the little things first. So we need to be adaptable and flexible in our ministry. Amen. Sometimes we need to think out of the box. Amen. Just because we did it one way doesn't mean we have to do it another way. We can't do it another way. As long as anything you do, as long as it is according to the words of Almighty God. Amen. But Paul was completely adaptable and flexible in his ministry to whatever the Lord wanted him to do. And we need to be the same, do we not? Amen. So then we move on in verses 24 to 27 of this chapter. And Paul talks about his temperance. Verses 24 to 27, Paul talks about his temperance. His temperance. Now, Paul commended the Corinthians to maintain the temperance of a champion athlete. Notice in verse 24 of 1 Corinthians 9. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. Amen. Paul strove to be the best, to obtain the incorruptible crown, and we should do likewise. In verse 25, we read, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they did do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. Amen. Paul compared his discipline and self-denial, and he kept his body in subjection to that of a runner and a boxer. So we see in verses 26 and 27, Paul says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I not, as one that beateth the air, but I keep my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Amen. So Paul tells us he had a race to run. You and I have a race to run, amen? In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is before us. So we need to lay aside the hindrances and the sins that easily beset us, so that we can run that race and not have anything to keep us and hold us back. Not only that, but not only that Paul have a race to run and we have a race to run, but Paul had a certain course to finish. Amen. And you and I have a certain course to finish. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, Paul says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I pray for each one listening today that all of us would be able to say and echo those words of the Apostle Paul. So Paul, he had a race to run, a certain course to finish, indefinite opponents to fight. Amen. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, again, verse 7, I have fought a good fight. So obviously, you have a fight, you have opponents. That's why you have to fight. We all have opponents. Amen. Be it Satan, the world, the flesh of the devil. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 17, we read, notwithstanding the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, that all Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Amen. Sometimes we find ourselves in the mouth of the lion, but we can defeat the lion in the power of Almighty God. And then in 1 Corinthians 15:32, if after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. So we see that he fought beasts at Ephesus. After preaching to others, Paul tells us, after preaching to others, he didn't want to be a castaway. Now, here, when we read the word castaway, there are many who believe that you can lose your salvation. The scripture does not teach that. Once you're saved, you're eternally saved. You can never lose your salvation. Amen. You can lose through sin your fellowship with Christ, your rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. Amen. Your testimony. But you can never lose your salvation. Once you're saved, you're saved. You're going to heaven. So what Paul is saying was, he wasn't concerned about losing his salvation. He didn't want to be cut from the team, from God's team. He kept his body under. He kept temperate in all things. So he would not be put on the shelf, amen, in his ministry. That God could continue to use him, that he would never do anything to bring disgrace to the gospel of Jesus Christ and to the ministry that Christ has given us. My dear listeners, that should be always in the back of your mind and our mind, and my mind, as we're living for Christ, serving Christ. Be aware of yourself and your flesh. Keep your body under. Keep it temperate. Amen. Because, you know, it takes a lifetime to build up a testimony for Christ. But just one slip up, amen, can destroy it, amen, totally, amen. You don't lose your salvation, you're still saved, but you lose your testimony. You lose your testimony for Christ to not only fellow brothers and sisters to Christ, but also, more importantly, to those that are unsaved, amen. So Paul, by his personal testimony of the ministry, gives us a great example to follow. We must know our calling, our necessity to preach the gospel, our privilege to be supported in the ministry, our responsibility to not abuse this privilege, our need to be adjustable to people to whom we minister, and our duty to keep our bodies in subjection. Amen. So all of these things are important to remember. Well, we're going to stop there for today, but next time we'll continue our journey through the book of 1 Corinthians. We'll start on chapter 10. Till then, may God richly bless you, is my prayer, and good day.